Today, we're going to talk about the problems with Parler. Why is Parler having so many issues? You've been hearing about it. You've probably read about it in some blogs. You've seen it on social media sites. I want to review an article, actually, my good friend, host of Law and Profits on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, Marcus Pittman, shared with me. Red, White, and FU is the is the website. It's by Mindy Robinson. And I'm not going to post it because there's a lot of cussing in it and things like that. And this is family friendly. We're not going to have articles laced with profanity. I know that some schools use this podcast. I know that some people watch it with their kids. So we're just not even going to go there. But I want to go through it and talk about some of the issues because, not because I'm paid, not because I get paid by Parler, not because I have any association with Parler. The only thing that I have as far as a relationship with Parler besides my account is the hope that this could be a site that is taking down Twitter and Facebook. I can tell you for a fact, my show has grown substantially, exponentially since being on Parler. And for that reason alone, I wanted to succeed just because of the censorship, whatever kinds of censorship that they have, what kind of reviews, whatever algorithms they have, whatever issues they have, it's still better using data, my data from my shows, than anything that Twitter or Facebook or Instagram has been doing for me. That's what we need to look at, is we need to look at the data and the numbers, because there's anecdotal stuff. There's mistakes that happen. Like, if we remember, I talked about this, I think, on my last show. They added 500,000 users in a matter of days. Now, for those of you who do have a company, imagine the issues, the chaos, the good chaos. It's good. You want these problems, but there are problems nonetheless with scaling. They're scaling problems. Imagine, how would you service 500,000 new customers in a matter of days? 500,000. That brings along with it, along with the success, along with the great positive feelings, the celebration, the success, brings along issues and problems that you might have not been ready or prepared to deal with. And just being a young company, being a new company, you're going to get things wrong. You're going to make mistakes. And I want to review this again, not because I want to make apologies for Parler, not because I'm making excuses for Parler, but because these are the same issues that you're going to deal with when you start a company as well. So we're going to get into that today. That was a long intro. We're part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to flfnetwork.com. Put in HGBT in the memo field like you see in that mug, like you see in this mug. You will get a mug like this for free on top of all the other benefits the network provides you, including a huge discount on our conference coming up in October 1st through 3rd in Nashville, Tennessee. Please be there and say hi to me. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to discuss things with you, to talk with you, help you, bless you, whatever I can do with the time that is allowed to me. I still don't know my schedule there. So please go become a member, support our network, and go to that conference. Email me, all that stuff, matt@howtobuild10.com. Follow me on all the social media sites, howtobuild10. Appreciate you guys again. The meme game is still going strong. I'm seeing people sharing just a lot of memes based off of the Marxist burqa. I love it. I hope that becomes the name of these masks, the Marxist burqa. Okay, so the first thing I want to do address before we get into this profane-laced article is this sentiment that I'm seeing, and it's really frustrating to me in a lot of ways. It's really frustrating to me. There's this sentiment, and I think it has to do with the skepticism just naturally of tech companies. I totally get it. But for a long time, the conversations have been happening. It's been happening on this show. It's been happening on the network. It's been happening throughout the interwebs, is we need another platform. We need the free market to come up with another platform. And I was telling you guys, there's so many platforms out there. It's just really hard to build. It's really hard to get people onto your platform. There's plenty of other platforms. The solution is not one more platform. It has to be more than that. It has to have something that differentiates. And we get it. And we get it through Parler. And I'm seeing conversations like, well, Gab was banned and Parler hasn't. So there's something wrong with it. It's a trap. It's a honey trap. It's like an elitist trap where you're like, that's data mining. It's this government conspiracy talk. Guys, the government already has your information. Trust me, they already have it. What is the risk of going to one more platform and just participating in it, not making it your sole platform, not making it your life's work, not putting your business like solely on it and relying on it alone, not putting it any information that you don't feel comfortable putting on it, but just supporting the movement and the momentum and helping get this going? We got to think big picture, long term. And this negativity, like, until you have concrete evidence, stop using your gut. Stop using these anecdotal evidences, these anecdotal conversations, these anecdotal tweets where it's, oh, that's it. They're obviously not for free speech and I'm not going to be on them. None of the sites are free speech. And another thing is like, oh, they're kicking people off. See, they're not like what they're saying they are. I don't care if they kick people off. There are people that should not be on the internet. In fact, guys, on our Facebook page, the Fight Laugh Feast family channel, we kick people off all the time. I don't know if you knew that. Between you and me, we actually kick people out of our family Fight Laugh Feast group. Because toxic people shouldn't be there. It hurts the community. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with when a business that pretends to be neutral kicks off one side of it. If you're going to kick off just anyone, regardless of their political stance, regardless of their religious stance, regardless of their philosophical positions, because they're being abusive, go ahead. I don't have a problem with that. I will gladly participate in a platform that kicks off abusive people. I have a problem when they start saying, oh, because of your conservative Christian beliefs, that's abusive. You're getting kicked off. Meanwhile, I'm getting the FUs and I'm going to come and kill your family from the liberals and they get to stay on. That's what we're trying to flee from. That's what we're trying to get away from. And Parler could be that. I'm not saying it is that. I'm not saying it could change. I'm not saying it could be evil. I don't know the founders. I don't know the morality. I don't know the standards that they have. I don't know the principles they have. But it's worth a try. Guys, it's worth a try. All right. That's my plea against just the unwarranted, in my opinion, skepticism that we are seeing online. At least that's what I am seeing online. Now, the first thing, what's her name again? Oh, Mindy Robinson. She starts off with this big dispute with Dan Bongino, who I listen to as a podcast. He's, I think, behind Ben Shapiro. He's the number two most listened to conservative podcast. I was listening to him because he was exceptional with Spygate and getting the information ahead of time. He was part of the Secret Service, so he had a lot of government connections and was able to get a lot of people to talk to him. So it was very fascinating over the last 2-3 years. But apparently, Mindy had an account, and somebody took her account and was using vulgar language or whatever, and there were some issues with that. And the platform didn't resolve it in a quick enough time. And then Dan Bongino was basically, he said, like, stop being dramatic. We're not absolutely refusing, quote unquote, to do anything. Apparently that's what she was saying. Send me the info and we'll take care of it. And then they go back and then she gets all mad that he called her dramatic, which is just funny. It's like just so silly. I mean, maybe you could have handled it better or not. But this is leads me to the first point, besides the fact that I think Mindy's just really mad about what Dan Bongino said to her on Twitter. You can look it up. It happened, I don't know, it says 3 days ago on this blog that was on June 30th, so 4 or 5 days ago. This is the thing, guys. 500,000 new users, 500,000 new customers. Now imagine, like, even if you don't have your own company, but just someone you work for and the clients you work for, or maybe you have internal people that you support and internal teams. Imagine if you had 500,000 new ones. Obviously, you need to take customer service really, really important. Like, you need to consider it really important. It's a high priority. And in fact, tech used to be known for being terrible at this. Amazon started really raising the bar back in the day. But I don't know if you remember this, but Tech used to be notorious. They were notorious for having the worst kind of customer service. It was like what you got with it. It's like, yeah, you know, it works great, but when it doesn't, you just kind of live with it because it usually works great with the platform, whatever it is, whichever platform it was. That's just how it was. But just like a team that isn't used to having however many they have plus 500,000 new users in a matter of days, your customer service is going to be hurt because your business just scaled. And you're not going to be able to hire quality customer service people and train them in the amount of days to cover 500,000 people. So even if what she is saying is true, Mindy Robinson is true, which is sad. It sucks that someone grabbed her account. Apparently, after Dan Bongino looked into it, they said it was a parody account. They might have changed it. Who knows? But guys, these are called growing pains. They're scaling problems. When you add 500,000 people to a platform, when you have 500,000 customers, you're going to have these issues. You should expect them for yourselves, and you should expect and give some grace to these startup companies. Another thing that I saw was Kate Hopkins. This was interesting. Katie Hopkins. I think she's that British lady who's the Brexit. She's with Neil Farage or something. I don't know. But apparently they took her account, verified her account. And how they verify accounts is you use your driver's license. I did this. You give them the front and the back of the driver's license. And I think it's a way for them to try and get the people to, you know, be who they actually are. And which I honestly think that's a pretty good idea. But this is the thing. Not all credential analysis are equal. Not all credential analysis can read the IDs the same way. And what could have happened was someone could have taken a picture of Katie, doctored it up, a driver's license of their own, pasted pictures on it or words on it, and just made up some fake data and taped it together and took a picture of it and maybe Photoshopped it and things like that. I could see that being an issue. And if you're a startup company, if you don't have that many resources, you're just trying to make it, you got to ration your resources, you don't know where they can all go, you may not have the best credential analysis system. Not all credential analysis systems are equal. So, I mean, I understand the frustration. This is a terrible thing that happened. But again, like, this isn't a Facebook worth billions of dollars. This is a new startup company that has just been gaining popularity. I know they've probably been around for a while, but they've been struggling. They haven't been growing. I don't even know if they're making money yet because I don't see really any advertisement on the platform. But that is something that I could see from a credential analysis perspective. I've had to use credential analysis. I've worked for companies that have done it. I am very familiar with the different levels of analysis that can be done. Not all things are equal. And I could really easily see them because this isn't like a financial transaction. This is not regarding like your mortgage or having to, you know, wire millions and millions of dollars. This is just simply a social media verification site. I don't imagine that they would start off with the highest credential analysis because it costs a lot of money. And again, when you're starting your own company or you have your own business, you have to make trade-offs because you don't have infinite amount of money. And so if you are the risk of this happening and the damages from somebody taking someone else's identity versus someone stealing a mortgage or, you know, having mortgage fraud, those are completely different levels of risk. And so, I mean, even from my perspective, if I was running this company, I probably wouldn't start off with the highest level of credential analysis on this. All right, we're getting kind of long. What was the last thing? There's the last thing. Oh, the terms of service. I want to talk about this. This one is wacky. And whoever, where is it? I wanted to see it. I had a picture of it. Oh, okay. Yeah, here it is. Now, whoever did this should be fired. But I just want to talk about this for a second. I want to talk about lawyers for a second. Now, the terms of service are majority of the time and should be written by attorneys, not by them. I doubt they have a counsel, in-house counsel. I was going to say internal counsel, but that's not it. In-house counsel. That is where you hire attorneys to work for you full time. I shouldn't guarantee it. Most likely they don't have that. So they outsource it to another firm. Now, to get somebody to write the terms of service can be tens of thousands of dollars. Now, I don't know who did this, but they should be fired. They should never be hired again for this, because this is terrible. But the mindset of an attorney working for their client in contractual obligations, which this is a contract that they have with their users, right? It's a user agreement. You're entering in a contract with Parler to use their service. The goal of their attorney is not to be equitable. The goal of an attorney for their client is not for them to consider both sides. The goal of an attorney, your attorney, when you hire them, or the Parler's attorney, Facebook's attorney, Twitter's attorney, is to protect their client as much as possible, which means to put the risk as much on the other party and not on their client. So that is the mindset and how an attorney is thinking about protecting their client. And that kind of gives a little more context to this. Now, this is outrageous. So this is what it says in Section 14. You agree to defend and indemnify Parler, as well as any of its officers, directors, employers, agents, from and against any and all claims, actions, damages, obligations, losses, liabilities, costs or debt, and expenses. And so it goes on. So basically, we were in, you know, agreed to the terms of service, which majority of us don't read, like 99.99% of people don't read. Agreed to basically flip the bill for any of the defense or issues that come up with not just the company, but all of the officers. Now, this is funny. Well, because one, we understand the mindset now, right? They're doing it to try to protect their client as much as possible. But two, is the likelihood that this would hold up in court for one is very suspect. Like, just because it's in a contract doesn't mean it's going to hold up in a court of law. There's a lot of things. Like, for example, if you put an arbitrary agreement in your contracts, which I'm a big fan of, you should always put an arbitrary, a mediary. Why am I forgetting the terms? Arbitration and mediation. An arbitration and mediation clause in your contract. Because it will save you a lot if you go to disputes. You don't have to go to court and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars fighting in court. You can usually go through mediation or have an arbitration where you have an arbiter, and the courts will most likely honor it depending on what state you're in. But one of the things that you have to do is put on the very top of the contract in very bold letters that you're having the clause in the contract later on. And there's a lot of other things that you need to do to put that in there. Talk to a lawyer if you're curious about that. But if you don't have it in there, it is at risk of being thrown out and you have to go to court anyways. So there are things where even if it's agreed upon by both parties, knowingly or unknowingly, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. The second thing, not only do I not think that this would ever hold up in court, but the second thing is, how would you enforce this? If Parler came to me and said, you owe us $100 for your share of defending director Tom Smith, I'd say, go pound sand. And what would they do? Are they going to take me to court for the $100 share? It's just silly, guys. But this is what I think happened. I think it was an incompetent lawyer, maybe a friend, maybe it was just a new someone right out of law school. Maybe it was just some guy who said he could do it, never done it before. It's like, hey, I'm going to protect my client and do this little fun thing. It was stupid. They said they're going to change it. We'll see. I'm not worried about it because, again, I don't think it'd hold up in court. And two, I don't know how you would enforce that. And that's pretty important in a contract, is to make it enforceable and that it would hold up in a court of law. And those two things I don't think would happen. So those are my thinking. I think all of these other issues, I didn't get time to them because it's going long. But all these other issues are growing pains. And what you should read and learn about and kind of expect and try to figure out, how can you mitigate those scaling problems if scaling like 500,000 people came on to your service or wanted 500,000 of your products in a matter of days? Like, it's not all like smooth sailing. There's a lot of issues that come with scaling that fast, even for a tech company, even for a platform. Customer service. You start seeing the gaps of these, like, of where your terms of service are and things like that. All right, so let's go out, be successful. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.